I'm going to continue to challenge you in your faith. But this month, we're going to do a reflection. We're going to do a month of reflection, a month of enjoying the Christmas season and enjoying what Christmas is all about. And I just encourage you, take it all in. If you haven't been down to the Riverside Park, go down there and take your kids and go through the lights. It's just a wonderful thing, and it reminds us of the light of the world. And, you know, they got an ice rink down there, and you can ice skate, and there's just all kinds of things that you can do with your family. This is a great time to establish family traditions, and I believe in family traditions. I believe in making the family strong, and we do that spiritually, but we also do it emotionally. And I think that when we do things together as families, it knits us together emotionally. And we need that connection. And we need that in our lives. But anyway, so we're gonna do some rejoicing during this Christmas season. I hadn't preached in 5 weeks, and I'm ready to go. Okay? I hope, Gene, I can still do it. Yeah, you do. I thought Joe did a great job with Healthy Church, and I believe someday he's going to make it. He's making it already. He is making it already. But I want to start off with a scenario. The TV comes on. You're watching TV. And this particular TV program, it's a cold December afternoon. In fact, it's starting to get dark. A woman has loaded her groceries in her car. She's running late. So she's sitting in her car, and she's texting her daughter at home to get out some meat out of the freezer so that she can begin to prepare supper when she gets home. When all of a sudden, the door flies open and a black man, a big, burly black man in a hoodie with bugged eyes, grabs her and pulls her out of the car. And they go to a commercial. Isn't that the way they do it? So we're sitting there wondering what is going to happen to this lady. Is she going to be mugged? Is she going to be raped? Is she going to be murdered? Is she going to be robbed? Or all of the above? When the TV comes back on, they replay the part of that where he grabs her and pulls her out of the car. But all of a sudden, the camera pans back to reveal that her car is on fire. And a retired or off-duty police officer has just pulled her out of the car. He pulls her away, and the car explodes. And rather than him taking her life, he saved her life. Now, our prejudice would probably have thought the wrong thing. Isn't that true? Let's just be honest. But until we see the big picture, we don't understand the story. And I think sometimes Christmas is that way. I think sometimes we focus the camera on one little thing. Maybe it's the manger scene. You know, I've been to Israel and I saw a manger, and it don't look like the American manger. It's made out of stone. It's carved and hewn out of stone, and it doesn't look like that at all. But anyway, beside the point, I think we focus on the nativity scene, and we see baby Jesus, and I think that's good, and I think we need to celebrate baby Jesus. And, you know, then in our other Easter service, we focus on the fact that he's been raised from the dead, and we kind of focus in. But I think sometimes we need to pan the camera back. And I think we need to take a look at the whole picture so that we can see how this whole story comes together. And that's what I want us to do. We're going to look at some of the I am statements of what Jesus said about himself. Not what others said about him, but some things that he said about himself so that we can see completely, well, as completely as we can see, who he is and what he's about. And the reason is we might learn something, but that's not my goal in this. We as believers, we should all know, if we've been believer for any length of time, we should know all of this stuff. But maybe, just maybe, the Holy Spirit will give us a little insight into something that we haven't seen or realized in the context. I'm trusting for that to happen. But mainly, the purpose of this series that we're going to be doing for the next few weeks has to be with us celebrating as the body of Christ who he is as completely as we can. We're going to do this week. We'll do next Sunday, and then, and I want to give you a little ad here. On Christmas Eve Eve, that's on a Tuesday, that's the 23rd. Is that right? Christmas Eve Eve, that'd be the 23rd. We're going to do a night service. We're going to open it up to the community. And we're going to come together, and we're going to celebrate as a community. So I want to just put a bug in your ear. Start inviting people to our Christmas Eve Eve service. We'll tell you more about it as time gets closer. But mainly, I want you to come, because it'll be part of this series that we're doing. And we're going to talk about Jesus, where he says, "I am the light of the world." That's what we're going to talk about that night. I'll just give you a heads up. And we're going to be doing some neat things. We may take communion. I don't know yet. But I do know that we're going to be lighting candles. And it's just, and it's not going to be a long service. We're going to sing some songs. And hopefully we're going to have the kids, maybe the kids that are in the play, they can come and sing. And just a time of reflection and joy before we start opening presents and get our minds, you know, in all of that part of the Christmas thing, but where we can just really worship as a community. And I want us to be able to do that. So help us with that. Would you do that? Anybody help us with that? We need that. Praise God, we need to do things like that. But we're going to look at some of the I am statements, and we're going to begin today. We're going to go to John chapter 8, and I think my man in the sound booth is going to put some scripture up for us. Yeah, he's a good man. John 8:48. We're going to begin. We're going to read lots of scripture today. Is that okay if we read lots of scripture? You should be all about the scripture. Then the Jews answered and said to him, Do we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? They accused Jesus of that a lot, of having demons. Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Then the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death." You know, for such a religious group, they were so shallow in their understanding. "Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be?" That's a great question. Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you." Isn't he preaching good? How would you like to say? He'd be a liar just like you. Okay? "But I do know him and keep his word. He's going to get in trouble here. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? We're going to prove that you're out of your gourd." Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Powerful statement. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. going through the midst of them and so passed by. See, they knew what he was saying. The casual reader of the New Testament, if you've not read the Old Testament, you might not get the connection. And we're going to make the connection this morning. But there's another one in John chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. This is at the betrayal and the arrest of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden which he and his disciples entered. I got to go to that garden when I was in Israel, and it's quite a sight. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met with his disciples there. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Who are you seeking?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. And when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. There was such power in that statement that when those soldiers heard that, they literally went back and fell to the ground. The power of God was so strong. Much like in the Old Testament when the Shekinah glory would fill the temple and the Bible said that the priests could not stand to minister. The power of God was so present that it knocked them over bodily. This is a testimony of who Jesus Christ is. Now the Jews understood that because they studied the Old Testament. There wasn't a New Testament. Their Bible was the Old Testament. And we're going to go back to Exodus, to the time of Moses, when God was dealing with Moses and saying, "I want you to go into Egypt and I want you to bring my people out." That's a wonderful story. But Moses is arguing with God. Have you ever argued with God? Huh? I mean, you know, he has every excuse. "Well, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm not good. I can't speak. I can't do this. I can't do that." Yeah, 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 yeah. And he's just kind of like we are sometimes. Thank God he obeyed. Amen. And listen, if you will obey, there will be people who thank God that you obeyed. Okay, here we go. Just a thought. That one's free. Exodus 3:11. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" See, he had been prepared for this moment from the time of his birth. That's a whole nother series. We'll go do that sometime. So he said, "I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought out the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" Now here's the connection. And this is why the Jews got so mad at Jesus when he made this statement. Because he made a strong statement that told them who he was. And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" The same thing that Jesus said to those Jews before Abraham was, "I." He didn't say, "I was." He said, "I am." What is he doing here? He was telling them exactly who he was. Now we know that. We celebrate that as believers. But you know what? Sometimes we don't realize it till we pan the camera out and we look at the story. We make the connection. But you know, there's a lot of people who believe today that Jesus didn't exist until he was born. And Jesus was saying, before Abraham was, I am. He not only was saying, I existed, he was saying, I am the I am. Isn't that true? I am the I am. You know, back into Moses' story. See, the children of Israel knew him by several names. One of them was El, E-L, which means the strong one. Another one has to do with Elohim. And that is a relationship name where he comes into a relationship with people for the working of his purposes. And then there was the word Yahweh or Jehovah, which means he exists, and it's pretty close to an Aramaic word, H-A-W-A-D, which means to happen or to be. And what God was saying, he says, I am the God of eternity. And this is hard for us as people to wrap our minds around, that our God was not created. He has existed eternally. And the neat thing about it was he was saying, I am. And the ideal here is that I am what I was. I was what I am, and I will ever be what I was and am. He is the unchanging God. He never changes. There's not a shadow of changing with him. And when Jesus says, you know what? Before Abraham was, I am. I'm the same. I existed with God because I am God. See, we talk about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And somehow in a lot of people's minds, it was, you know, well, God created Jesus. No, God didn't create Jesus. He is eternally with God. Now, Jesus was begotten, but that had to do with his earth suit. He existed before that. Can I say this about you? You did not exist before you were conceived. You might have existed in the mind of God, but your spirit didn't come alive until you were conceived. Jesus was not conceived. He was begotten. There's a difference. He always was. And can I tell you? He always was what he is. And he will ever be what he was and what he is. There's a scripture that says that in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. And it says this: Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same. When he was, what he is, and what he ever will be the same. The Bible tells us that there's not even a chance. There's not even odds that God will change. There's not a shadow of his turning. God will never change. And I know people say, well, you know, it seems like the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are different gods. They are not. They are exactly the same. The difference is the covenant. The difference is that God came in the flesh and paid the price for the sin of the world. And if we will accept him, we will have a relationship with Elohim, our God of eternity, who comes into a relationship with us for the outworking of his purposes. That's why he raised up the church. That's why he raised up the church. That's why he inhabits the body of Christ. Why? For the outworking of his purposes. See, you're not here to make a living. You're not here just to raise children. Somebody, amen, I might have a running spell here. Glory. Oh, you're here for his purpose. Now, all that other stuff is a blessing. Making a living, having your needs met. Well, why do we do all that? For his glory, for the outworking of His purposes. That's why we are in relationship with Him. But you know the neat thing that He says? And we're going to read 10 verses of Scripture here before we close. We're actually going to read 11, but we're going to read 10 that has this same promise. You know, there's lots of promises in the Bible, but this one is repeated 10 different times. You think God wants us to get that if He says something 10 times? When your mama says something to you 10 times, do you think that that's what she wants you to get in your pea brain? Johnny, go clean your room. Johnny, I said go clean your room. About the 11th time, she gets the shillelagh out and you go clean your room. God said something at least 10 times that He wanted us to get and to understand. That's good stuff. See, here's our takeaway today. Here's what I want you to get today. This is what I want us to rejoice around today. You know, the praise team will be back in just a few minutes, and we're going to sing a song. And I don't want it just to be singing the song so we can end the service. I think I want this to be something that you can rejoice around. And here's our takeaway, that Jesus is the God of eternity, and He will never leave us, nor will He ever forsake us. Can we be excited about that today? I want to give you 10 times here in the Scripture. And most of them are in the Old Testament. Some of them are in the New Testament, but most in the Old. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. Moses is commissioning Joshua. He's fixing to hand over the reins. And see, God had already said this to Moses, but now He's repeating it. He says, "Be strong and courageous and don't be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. "The Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." Do you ever get discouraged? You know why you get discouraged sometimes? Because you forget who's with you. Don't ever forget who's with you. And you've got this promise. I don't care what you go through. He'll not leave you. He'll not forsake you. He'll walk with you. Amen. Glory. God talking to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. And He says this, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20. David is talking to Solomon about the temple. "Be strong and courageous." I wonder why God says that over and over and over again. Be strong and courageous. Because we have a tendency to be weak and wimpy. "And do the work. Do not be afraid nor discouraged. For the Lord your God, my God," I like that, "the Lord your God, my God," the same God that was with me, "is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you." Psalms 37, 28, "For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake His faithful ones. They will be protected forever, but the offspring of the wicked will be cut off." Psalms 94, 14, "For the Lord will not reject His people. He will never forsake His inheritance." I'll tell you something about Israel today. God has not forsaken Israel. God has not forgotten about Israel. Israel may be blinded right now, but listen, He has not forsaken Israel. You're going to see God come to Israel. We're going to see God do something in Israel. And we're going to see Israel come to God, come to Christ as Messiah. Okay, He hasn't quit. He hasn't given. See, there's some people that study the Bible that'll tell you that, well, you know, God put Israel away and he no longer has anything to do with it. Don't believe that garbage. There's some people who say, well, you know, we're the real descendants of Abraham. No, we're not. We are Gentiles. We got grafted in because they got plucked out. But listen, there's coming a time that we're going to get plucked up and they're going to get grafted in. I'm happier than you are today. What's wrong? I'm picking at you. Isaiah 41:17. The poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst, but I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. See, it doesn't matter. Maybe if you go through a rough time, he says, you know, God's still going to be right there with you. He's not going to forsake you. Isaiah 42:16. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known along the unfamiliar paths. I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. Is it getting through your mind yet? And then Hebrews 13:5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. See, we, especially in America today, we live in a blessed nation. We live in a prosperous nation. We are more blessed than most of the world. And if we're not careful, we are so blessed and we get caught up in stuff. Making money, loving money, spending money, but we forget God. It tells us don't do that. Don't do that. Don't put making a career or making stuff, don't put that before God. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. See, next week we're going to be talking about how God provides for us. Because he says, I am the good shepherd. We're going to talk about that next week. I want to read lyrics to a song that I love that I think goes right along with this. And then I want to read out of Lamentations, and the praise team is coming back. But listen to these lyrics. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Pardon for sin and peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I've needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Isn't that good? Lamentations chapter 3 says this. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. You're not where you are today because you deserve to be there. None of us. Because his compassion fails not, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Aren't you glad for God's faithfulness today? Can we rejoice about God's faithfulness today? Can we be happy about God's faithfulness today? Come on. Let's stand to our feet. Glory. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come up. Gosh, somebody needs prayer today. You know, if you're here today, you don't know Jesus is Lord. We got folks right here that'll pray.